Everybody and welcome. My name is Robin Alexander and I'm the chair of Cornet Pittsburgh. And this is our second Coffee with Cornet session. We're thrilled that you're able to join us this morning. I'd like to start off by thanking our annual sponsors, AE7, First National Bank, First National Insurance Agency, Desmond Architects, Civil and Environmental Consultants, Hannah Langholz, Wilson Ellis, and Colliers International. Thank you to our sponsors. Without your support, our programs would not be possible. I do have two quick announcements. We are continuing this Coffee with Cornet series over the next several months. On August 18th, we'll be providing a virtual session on the Pittsburgh market, what's going on from the brokerage community. We'll have speakers from Hannah Langholz, Wilson Ellis, Colliers, and the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership. Again, that's August 18th. And on September 14th, AE7 will be hosting a session about returning to the office. So save the dates, will be coming out for those sessions later this week. I'd like to kick off our program for this morning and thank Desmond, not only for being a sponsor, but also for putting on this session for us today. We have Eric Booth from Desmond Architects and Michael Kuhn from Jindoko Construction. Eric Booth is the president of Desmond, and he led his team on the design and construction of their 25,000 square foot office addition at their headquarters in Lawrenceville. The addition received WELL Gold certification this past March, which was the first private office space to receive that certification in Western Pennsylvania. And Michael Kuhn, president of Jindoko Construction, worked very closely with Desmond throughout the project. And Jindoko has been a general contractor in this region for over 100 years. So Eric, Michael, I will hand it off to you to talk a little bit about the project and the WELL certification.
All right, thank you, Robin, and thanks everyone for joining. So what I'm gonna do is I'm actually gonna pull up a presentation here, and I know that your time is valuable. I understand we have about 45 minutes, so we'll try to go through this to leave enough time for questions and so forth. Okay, so hopefully everyone can see this. So what we're gonna be talking about today is very specifically about our building and our process going through what we call Two Doughboy. And Two Doughboy refers to the addition project that we did to our existing building in Lawrenceville. And it's the portion that itself we received WELL certification for recently. So we talk about Two Doughboy, it mostly involves that, but it also involves some renovations for our existing spaces, which I'll talk about and show you. So presenters, Robin introduced myself and Mike. Very important here, this is going to be a very high level kind of overview of the project and the themes and the topics and so forth. We don't have the time to kind of get into the detail. So this is very important because if you have any questions, want any further detail or anything, please reach out to myself or Mike. We're happy to be a resource to you in any way. And also, you know, if this was during non-COVID times, we'd actually probably be doing this physically. And so we're able to do physical tours of the space if you'd like to actually come and see the space. Because one caveat I'm gonna have going through this is that, you know, we can talk about these concepts and show photos, but it's nothing kind of like actually going through the space itself. So happy to do that for you. So, you know, I think it's important to start off with an overview as to why we did what we did. And by the way, whenever you see photos in this presentation, like this one right here, these are photos of our actual space. In this case, it's actually our stairwell that is between the new and the old buildings. So the reason we did this was really basically started from a reflection of our company culture and values. And it centers around people, design, and vision. So people are the center of any company, no matter what. Ultimately, they're our biggest resource. And we recognize that the health of our staff, mind, body, and spirit is really essential to their ability to be people and to do their jobs. And we believe that buildings should be designed for people. Basic concept, right? But it's not always one that we necessarily actually do when we're as designers or contractors. Design is basically the vehicle by which we create buildings that allow people to thrive and addressing those needs, the physical, emotional, and spiritual. And right now, we really think that our work is more relevant than ever. And all of our work starts with the vision. in what we do for others is really the vision of our clients. In this case, because this is our project, it was our vision. And we had a service journey that basically identified what was important to us broadly and specifically, and then we used that to kind of form the values by which then did our own project. In a sense, it all comes.
Hey, Eric, I have, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I might be the only one.
No, looks like he froze and maybe dropped off. He'll be back. In the meantime, I think maybe I'll just keep going. I think the next part was going to be Jendoko, talking about sort of how we were partners with Desmond on this project. So we've been blessed to sort of maintain a relationship with Desmond Architects that spans generations, and we're proud to have been their partner on the development of their own project for their office space. That partnership starts with our approach to collaborative project delivery and focus on sustainability and, most importantly, alignment on project goals. And, you know, that alignment starts with this idea that we believe that the built environment should have a net positive impact on people, nature, and communities. And so when we as a construction team work together with a design team on that fundamental basis, I believe that we can deliver really high value projects. And so that leads me to sort of what I really believe our role was on the project beyond just the idea. Hey, Eric, welcome back.
Sorry.
I just jumped to the next slide virtually, right? You know, just talking about sort of our role in the project and sort of being your partner. So the idea where I was just talking about the reconciling of value. So I think that was one of the greatest roles that we as a contractor can play. While we are responsible for delivering the actual bricks and mortar construction through the construction. But, you know, I think such an important part of delivering a project such as this is that work on the front side to, you know, help discover potential and reconcile the value of that potential, as well as develop the capacity within the team to deliver something such as well building. And I think our teams worked really, really well hand in hand to maximize that potential. And I think this project is a result of that. So.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike, for stepping in there. See teamwork. So I'm not going to go into all of what well is, because we could literally talk hours for what well is. And so I think a lot of you are already familiar with the concept. For those of you who are not, if you've heard of LEED, if LEED is about how buildings impact the environment, well is about how buildings impact people. And it's a rating system similar. And so it's divided into different categories. And what you're seeing here is essentially how we use well and the concepts of well specific to our actual building. So what you're looking at is on this right here, where it says one Doughboy Square, that's basically a diagram of our existing building. And for those of you familiar with Lawrenceville, you can see the statue out here to orient yourselves, the corner of Penn and Butler. And then this portion back here, this shows kind of the outline or the overall massing of the basement level, which is parking, and then our level, the first level of office. And then we actually have another level of office that's above us. So it's a total of a three-story building. So the concepts we use here primarily were air, water, and light. And so in terms of light, this is, you know, views of the exterior, as much natural light as possible. For those of us in Pittsburgh who are not used to so much sunlight, it's a great thing now. But also in terms of the artificial light, that the artificial light, in other words, the actual, you know, light fixtures, are tuned to circadian rhythms and circadian design, which basically means our body's clock. So having a certain amount of light at a certain amount of times basically is thought to then impact your energy levels and then essentially allow for you to have better sleep and so forth. Water, obviously water is essential to all life. So filtration and treatment of our water, testing, regular, and then even things like promoting the drinking of water, a basic kind of thing, but there's actually a stipulation of, well, that you have to have water within a certain distance. And for example, we have found by locating water strategically within our space is that people use, drink more water, a lot of it. And if there's one thing you do to help your health, that's probably the easiest thing, drink more water, this basically promotes that. Air, you've heard probably heard a lot of things about air recently in terms of ventilation, filtration, the way that COVID itself is spread. So this was incorporated into our system by our ventilation system and our filtration system. So we have a high-performing MERV filter on our system. And so it's basically, it will be higher performing than most previous versions. And cleaning plan, fitness works into it in terms of promoting use of stairs, for example, instead of elevators. We strategically locate our cafe, for example, which is in the old building, away from where everyone works as a way of promoting people to actually go and work in there. We have sit-to-stand desks as a means of people, so you don't sit in one location all day. But the idea is that as you're up and moving around and your circulation is flowing, it actually helps you and keeps you healthier. So those are kind of some obvious ones in a sense, but then there are other ones that aren't quite so obvious, but are really important to health in general. So nourishment, what we eat, what we put into our bodies is critical to how healthy we are. And so we promote hand washing. We also make dietary accommodations, and we've created what we call mindful eating spaces, which are spaces you can go to and eat and actually be very mindful about the actual food you're putting in into your body and consuming. Comfort is kind of an obvious one to a lot of us, but we kind of forget that this is really important to health. So accessible design in terms of having barrier-free with those that may have disabilities, acoustic solutions. We have sound masking within our space, for example, because we have an open workplace. Thermal settings to try to allow for as much thermal comfort as possible. And then the last one here, mind, which I think actually may be one of the most critical ones moving forward, is about how buildings impact us emotionally and spiritually. Having spaces that celebrate culture, that are adaptable, and also allow for peace of mind. So for example, in our old space, we actually put wellness rooms that are basically there for, you know, times where we were in the office more. You can just go and get away and have some time to yourself. So this is a slide that just has some other more specific information on those things. This kind of gets into some what I'll call nuts and bolts. So biophilia, how we incorporated plants and so forth, adaptable spaces. These numbers right here, it may be hard to see on the screen depending on the size of your screen, but like O4 VOC reduction, this refers to a specific a point in well, and it has to do in this case with having materials and furniture and so forth that don't emit toxic chemicals, noise in circulation and so forth. So again, this is high level. If you were to come to the space when I give you a tour, we'll walk through and I'll point all these things out in place. But and if you have any questions in the meantime, you know, please feel free to reach out to us. So, you know, we look at why we would do this and what the value would be for employers in general. And so in our case, you know, we saw that there's a basic premise, right? And that is healthier engaged employees are more productive employees, bottom line. The healthier people are, the more engaged they are, the more they're able to do their job, the more productive that they'll be. And so it just makes sense that you would do a space that would try to promote that as much as possible. And, you know, because people are our greatest asset as companies, attracting and retaining the top talent is critical to any business. And a lot of people now, and especially now with the focus on how buildings impact our health, a lot of very talented people in the workforce are now beginning to look very critically as to how does a space impact me? Is this going to be a space I'm going to work with? Is this going to be a space that I'm going to want to engage with people with and I'm going to be able to be my best self? Well, in particular, is backed by research and data and best practices. So for those of us like myself, they're very rational and want to have an explanation for everything, want to talk about return on value, why are we doing it? It's backed by doctors and research. It's constantly evolving, and it's always looking to upgrade to the best practices. Really critical is it provides a framework for the use and ongoing maintenance of the space. I mean, it's one thing. We can create the best building in the world. But if it's not used properly, if it's not cleaned properly, maintained properly, it doesn't matter. Even a clean room that is, you know, even a clean room will not be very clean if someone comes in and doesn't follow the protocol as to how to use it. So WELL provided a framework for that. And WELL also recognizes the critical importance of policy and company culture. And I'll talk about this in a bit when I refer to challenges, but This wasn't a matter of just looking at a book and saying, hey, we're gonna check off these things in terms of things we're gonna do. We had to decide as a company to commit to doing this because it goes beyond our physical space. It goes into our actual policy, our HR practices, everything. It infiltrates every bit of that. And what's great about that is that it really shows that the reflection of a company culture. And for those of you running businesses, you know that culture is the most important thing probably that you can establish. And if you establish a culture of wellness, one that promotes healthier living and then better and basically, you know, healthier individuals, the idea is that you get basically better results. And finally, it requires accountability. And again, it's great to then design a great building and then have a great plan for it. But again, if you don't roll out that plan, if you don't hold yourself to it, it doesn't matter. So well requires initial testing. They literally come out here and physically test the space with air monitors and they tested our water and so forth, our light levels. And it also requires recertification every 3 years. We can't just put a plaque on the wall and just let it be there for 10 years. We actually have to live what we're saying. And that was one thing that we really liked about well in particular. So, you know, what's a talk about buildings without some glamour shots? So what you see here is some before and after. To the left here, on the top left, that was our building as we started off. Gorgeous, beautiful building, the old Penn Bank building at the corner of Penn and Butler. It's of a style and it's of a quality that that would be extremely difficult to build economically, as I'm sure Mike will probably attest to. So what you're looking at to the right here is our addition. And so on the Butler side, on the Penn Avenue side, it follows a little bit more, it has a little more brick, and it follows a little bit more the traditional architecture of the neighborhood, which is residential smaller scale. And then down here on the left, so this is actually sort of not necessarily before, but you can see the steel frame door construction. So now this is Butler Street at the bottom, the existing building to the right and the new building to the left. And then that down here in the bottom right, you see our existing building with our new building or new addition. They're deliberately meant to be different because we wanted to pay respect to the old. And the Butler Street side actually has a much more contemporary feel because it also faces the commercial side of Lawrenceville, which is on Butler Street. So these are some interior shots. So this first shot on the top left, this is basically just what the space looked like after we'd renovated it in the 90s. Now, we should show a picture of what the space looked like before that. It was terrible. It was literally falling down. You know, pigeons were living in it. It was leaking water. This was a space after it had just been freshly done. And you see all the old drafting tables. And it was set up as a great space. This was basically the space we initially occupied as a company. And we were much smaller. We were around 10, 15 people at the time. Now we're, you know, 40, 45. So this served our needs well at that point. But this is even before computers became like a really big thing. To the right up here is actually what that space is now. And we didn't do a whole lot of work to it because we, you know, we obviously maintain the existing character and charm of that space. But it's become a much more open space because the majority of our workstations are actually in our new portion. So we have some workstations up here, but this actually allowed us to have a proper lobby and a proper reception area. Whereas before you came in, the reception desk was literally right to the left because we had so little space. Down here at the bottom to the left. So if you look at the top left here in the center here, that was a vault at one time and it was kind of a little library conference room. And you can see a picture of it down here on the left. That same space is what you see to the right. And so as a way of connecting between the old and new, we blew through that space and we put a ramp in and we completely transformed, obviously, the nature of that space. So instead of it being a space where it was a place where you stopped, now it's a space that you move through. And you see that we incorporated the work of Baron Batch. And so part of this idea of bringing culture and bringing interest to the space is that we basically, you know, we as architects like to trust or like our owners to trust us in terms of bringing our vision matched to theirs to a project. We gave Baron, the artist here, basically free rein to essentially come up with something that he felt would reflect us. And this space right here is a transition space between our old and new. So what you're looking at here is actually the entrance to the addition part in the back. Exterior shots. So this is our classic view on Butler Street looking at our building. You see the Doughboy statue to the right there, our existing structure or previous structure, and then our addition to the left. And then this photo to the right is on Butler looking back towards Doughboy statue. And it shows kind of like really that kind of contemporary addition to it. So if you see this kind of boxy portion here, that actually refers to the actual main part of our open space. So it's a reflection actually of what happens in between. And then to the left here with the smaller windows and so forth, that's actually where we have conference rooms and so forth in our bathrooms. This right here, because we currently occupy the existing building and then we occupy the first floor of the addition, we lease out the second floor of the addition to another tenant. And so they actually have the opportunity for their own entrance down here on Butler Street, which is different from ours up front. And down below here is actually a garage for the space. Some interior shots. To the right, again, is that same shot from our existing, from the existing, we call it the grand hall now, where you enter and walk in. And then to the left is a shot of our open workstations and our open office. So high ceilings, you see that it's kind of, not to get sort of too architectural on everyone, but we sort of saw it as a modern interpretation of our previous space. But here we incorporate all the aspects of well, in terms of the light and mechanical, open space, a lot of, you'll see a lot of plants in here, biophilia, all the materials that were chosen for low VOC, basically to try to create a healthier space. And you'll notice that we also incorporated the concept of windows here in large form to be able to not just bring in natural light, but, and one thing that I point out when I do tours of the space is that in our existing building, when you walked in, there were big windows, but you could never see out and people couldn't see us. Now, in our new building, we actually connect more with our community. Because we can see out and actually, you know, people can see under our space, which we really like. We feel more connected to Lawrenceville as a part of that. So some challenges. The very first one was that we had to look beyond the physical space. We had to design policies at the same time. And so this wasn't a matter of, hey, you know, the building people get together and they come up with the space. No, we actually had to engage every aspect of our company from top down and bottom up. HR, everyone was involved because it affected, we literally had to go back and retool some of the aspects of our handbook. Now we didn't have to retool a whole lot because a lot of what was in well was already in line with how we function as a company, but it was a lot of it was kind of fine tuning some details, but it required us to make some really hard decisions on, for example, what healthcare we're gonna provide or continue to provide, what benefits. For example, one thing we do to promote a healthy living is that we give a stipend for people to have Fitbits. We encourage people to be active. So we do a reimbursement for those who want to join a gym or run a marathon or whatever it is, anything that basically engages healthy activity. So again, it's beyond the physical space. And also when we did the addition, we revamped our entire computer system to go to a virtual desktop environment, which as soon as COVID hit, it was almost seamless for us in terms of the way we operate because we'd already set it up to allow for remote working. We were already encouraging and allowing people to work 2 days a week before all this hit. So we were already very accustomed to the idea of working remotely because we trust our employees. And so we saw our space, our actual office space, as another way, another place for people to work, not the only one, not the only place that can be successful, but the one where we congregate and we actually share and do a lot of our collaboration and meet with our clients. So a couple of other challenges, the lack of local expertise and practical expertise. Like we said, we're the first well gold. The FIPS actually achieved platinum, but they were a little bit of a different case. We were more typical in terms of having to meet our office demand needs because we were both tenants. And, you know, budget was incredibly important from the absolute get-go. So it was something we had to, but we had to, in some cases, teach a lot of our vendors and the suppliers we work with because they hadn't been used to dealing with things that met sort of well requirements as opposed to say LEED. And so the finishes of furniture, this was a big deal for us because we found that a lot of furniture may have met the requirements, but they hadn't actually received certifications or met the prescriptive portions that well was requiring. So that required us to do a lot of looking and a lot of sort of searching out there in terms of the vendor and also in terms of specific products we'd actually use. So that was probably one of our biggest challenges. I think Mike could probably talk about some of our challenges during construction.
Sure. So, you know, the first challenge is always material and equipment selection, procurement and validation, making sure that, you know, what is specified is what we get and that what we get satisfies the, you know, the well requirements. And so that's one thing that we always work really hard to do. Also development of a construction indoor air quality plan. That's essential and it's, you know, it's for during construction, but also post-construction consideration. So again, we had to develop and implement a plan that's different than, you know, a LEED project and different than other, you know, standard traditional projects. that really considers the health of the workers as well as the health of the post-construction occupants. Similar to that is the construction waste management, because again, it's about stewardship as well. And waste management has a huge impact on health. Something that we had to do. And then from a sort of a management standpoint, there's the documentation, right, to be able to provide what is necessary to get that final certification. So our team worked pretty diligently with Desmond's team to develop and create the tools to track that and to be able to successfully deliver that aspect of the project. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the most important roles I think that we played, biggest challenges, as Eric mentioned just a few minutes ago, is budget, right? So this whole idea of reconciling value, we as a construction manager, contractor, we really take that role seriously, and we want to help the owners make informed decisions about how they spend their money. And that's all a matter of again, reconciling value, looking at the different strategies that we can, implement into a project, whether it's from a construction standpoint or otherwise, and making sure that there's, that the value matches, what that cost might be. And, I wanted to say that I commend Eric and his team and all of the partners at Desmond for their commitment to the health and safety and well-being of their employees, because there were times in those conversations where we said, well, should we or should we not? We can save some money if we didn't do this. And they always said, no, this is what we're doing, because this is what we believe in, and this is what we want to deliver for our employees and for our clients that come and work and occupy and engage with our space. And so they deserve a lot of credit for making some of the decisions that they did, even when they were challenging. It wasn't difficult to make a decision to want to do the right thing in terms of health. But, as we start, and we always think, this has gone back to LEED and other sustainability initiatives, is, looking at that cost premium, but not necessarily reconciling the value of the cost premium. So I think that's one role that we really help to play in the process. And so that's sort of where I think we hit some challenges and also delivered some success, right?
Yeah, and the reason we chose Mike's team is that, look, we were the, as architects, we work on hundreds of projects a year. I mean, obviously for other people. And so we've had a good and bad experience with contractors. And we knew with the challenge of this project, we needed to work with a team that was really going to help us work through it and not just going to sort of, fall back on something. This was one thing or another. And so we knew Mike's team from previous projects as being really strong at that. And that's why we engaged them. And they're integral to the success of all this. And any project, I think any project anyone does at all, it's important to have that great dynamic, particularly doing something that's not been done before, or of a higher quality, or higher aspirations, it's really critical. And now we've lived this, right? So we were there in the building as we were hearing and feeling, the piles being driven for the retaining wall. At one point, we bought all of our staff Bose noise-canceling headphones, because, there's only so much you can stop in terms of noise. We had to be working here while work was going on. So we have felt the pain. We now have that in our muscle memory in terms of working other projects as to what it's like to live before, during, and through a renovation project, both from the practical aspects and obviously all the billing and so forth it costs. And again, that's kind of a high level view. If you ever want to talk to Mike or I more specifically about this, about those things, we're happy to do so. So, this is probably what a lot of people are thinking of, right? All right, that was great. We designed this whole thing prior to COVID. Now COVID is a thing now and will be forever. What does that mean? How do you look at your building? And so one of the ironies of all this is that we basically produce what is arguably one of the safest office buildings in the city of Pittsburgh, Western Pennsylvania. However, regulations don't allow us to use it to a full degree. When we have a sort of an overall consent, that says, teleworking is mandatory, it doesn't matter how great our space is, we still have to adhere to that. And so our space has been unfortunately a little bit too empty. Now, we've been able to argue that a lot of our work cannot be done effectively from remote. And so we still have the ability to use the space here. But we have this great building, it's all set up for a lot of it, and we've not been able to use it to its full capacity. I am in the office right now. Every time I've done one of these things, I'm always in the office. But again, we're still working largely remotely. Cleaning protocol portion, that was part of WELL, beautiful, because it just basically segued right into what we're having to do now with COVID. All the things that came out in terms of best practice and so forth, we're already doing. And actually, it was not great for us initially, because we had already sort of stocked up. We had an initial stockpile of our sanitizers and cleaning supplies and so forth. This all hits. And there was a period there where like, crap, now everyone's jumping on the bandwagon and we can't get our own for a while. The supply chain has gotten better. And so we're a little bit, we're back on track now. But for a while there, we were kind of having to face the fact that there were some, Johnny come latelys, and it was affecting us initially. Like I said before, culture and policy, these are critical. And so these remain no matter what. And they were an important part of why we did what we did. And they're a critical part as to why we continue to do what we do. A lot of the best practice design principles that I talked about, that inform the design of this, like light, air, and so forth, it doesn't matter if you're doing WELL or not, COVID or not, regardless, they're good design principles. And they should be incorporated into every single project, whether you're doing WELL or not. And the reason is that those practices affect health anyway, whether you're drawing attention to it or not. A well-lit, well-ventilated space is going to be a better space to work in than a poorly lit and a poorly ventilated one, whether you've got a WELL stamp on it or not. So it's important to keep those things in mind moving forward. The future of design is going to look a lot like prior design, but it's going to be tweaked and incorporate new things. But there's a lot of those principles are going to stay the same. Collaboration. So I want to talk about collaboration, beyond the kind of collaboration of our team that Mike and I talked about. This is more specifically of collaboration between team members in the office, because the physical distancing versus the open plan. This is a huge discussion now, right? The whole 6 feet and so forth. The idea prior to COVID was to promote people working in groups to actually physically be near each other, because for those of us who worked in that, especially in a collaborative environment doing design, there's a certain energy that comes from doing that that can't be, frankly, it cannot be completely duplicated through Zoom. A lot of things can, some things cannot. So that's actually been a challenge for us. And so now we have the opportunity to do that. Of course, we're doing it with different protocol policies, wearing masks and distancing and so forth. So we're able to do it, but it's a different mind shift from the way that we were looking at things previously. And it gets to this other point, the general wellness versus protection from COVID. WELL was not a system to say prevent disease of one kind. It was idea of creating wellness overall to create healthy individuals, mind, body, and spirit. COVID is a very specific virus that has very specific attributes to it, one that no system could completely anticipate. And if we designed a building that would be the perfect for the stop of COVID, it would probably be detrimental to the general well-being of a lot of other things. And so it's going to be a balance at some point. We can learn from it. And obviously, one of the most insidious things about COVID is that it can go without detection or asymptomatic. You know what? Again, no matter... we can design the perfect space. If there's not protocols as to how to use it, it does not matter. Disease can still be spread. So this gets into the last part, and the most important part is a holistic approach to wellness. This goes beyond the building. And it has to do with your company or any company or you as an individual's approach to your space and the way of living and operating. And our belief is that healthier individuals overall, healthier, not just physically, not just preventing disease, which is critical, but also being engaged in mind and body and spirit, and having emotional well-being. Those are all super critical things to overall well-being. And basically, it comes down to this: healthier people create healthier cultures. We as designers have the opportunity to promote health and wellness of people through the buildings we design and then the spaces we create. So that's an overview. Again, questions. We probably have some time for questions now we can entertain, but also if it goes beyond this, if there's more technical things we don't address, reach out to me. You can hit me up at my email address there or find me on LinkedIn. And same thing for Mike's information there as well. So with that, I will open it up.
Eric and Mike, thanks again. I'll start with a question. Do you think that going through the process of the well building certification drove further engagement and satisfaction with your employees? I mean, I would think that employees feel, hey, this investment is being made in my space. You know, this company seems to really care about my experience every day. I mean, do you feel like that? Do you notice any, you know, difference in employee satisfaction? I don't know if you do any kind of survey or anything, but can you talk a little bit about any change that you saw there from before to now?
Yeah, sure. So we started off with surveys at the beginning of all this. I mean, literally years ago, we started this process back in 2017. We started off by doing an assessment of our current space, what was working about it, what was not. And then as we went through, we engaged staff as much as we possibly could. I mean, at some point it becomes a matter of we have to make decisions that are, you know, that involve a lot of different circumstances. We have not actually gone through our formal process of the survey, which will be part of our well process itself. But through informal things and also surveys that we've done in terms of the staff that weren't directly dealing necessarily with the building, where it was like, if it was like for best places to work, for example, which we've been in best places to work for many years, the feedback that we got from that in that formal way and then informally, a lot of our staff have consistently said that they really appreciate the fact that we put so much thought into the building and our programs as a reflection of what we felt about and thought about them as employees and as individuals. And so a lot of folks now who've had to been forced to work from home initially have really, really, you know, it's been an issue for them because they've enjoyed working in our space and collaborating in it. And so at some point we want to have the actual metrics that prove that, but so far anecdotally and from the feedback we've been getting is a significant amount of appreciation from our staff. Because again, it's not just the physical space, it's also our healthcare policy. It's also the way that we look at, it's teleworking was part of that. It's all part of the way that we look at employees culturally.
Thank you. Just going to give people a minute here to get off of mute. Are there any other questions out there? You should be able to unmute yourself in the bottom left.
I should point out that, I mean, this is what Coffee with Cornet, had we been doing an actual physical tour of the space, we would have ended up in our cafe, down in our existing space where we would be having our coffee down there. So again, hit me up for a tour.
If there aren't any other questions, Eric, Mike, thank you so much for your time today. This was a great presentation, certainly very timely with everything that's going on. So we really appreciate it and really greatly appreciate your sponsorship of Cornet. If there are any more technical questions or people haven't hit the unmute button quickly enough, please feel free to reach out to me, Robin Alexander, and I can get the questions over to you. And we will be following up. We'll provide a link of the recording of today's session so that you can share that with colleagues.
All right. Thanks, Robin. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks again. Have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.